we were all driven by personal taste. We were driven by simple questions. Do I like it? Do I think this artist will be fun to work with?
In 1950, Jack Holtzman and a friend used $600 they pulled together to start Elektra Records in Jack's college dorm room. It wasn't a typical start. In fact, Elektra never followed the usual industry MO, and that may be why the label went on to become what it did. This is Take 5 from WFUV. Russ Boris here. When Jack and his friend Paul Rickhold founded Elektra, Jack got half of the original investment by raiding his bar mitzvah money. It turned out to be a pretty good use of the cash. In the 60s, Elektra Records discovered now legendary artists like Judy Collins, Love, The Doors, Carly Simon, The Stooges, and the MC5. And more recently, they've signed artists like CeeLo and Charlotte Gainsbourg. Elektra also founded Nonesuch Records, which started out as a classical label, but ended up pioneering world music and being one of the best rock and roots labels around, too. Elektra is celebrating its 60th anniversary now, and FUV's Rita Houston had a chance to talk with Jack about the label's early days.
What were some of the original goals you had in mind when you're at, in university getting this thing started? What did you think would have been a success at that point?
Oh, that's a very good question. What I would have considered it a success would be to build a sufficiently large catalog of high-quality music that would keep me eating and in rent money. I had no ambitions for hits. In fact, if you choose folk music as a preferred music, something that is totally akin to your own personal taste, you can't expect a lot from the standpoint of sales. But then again, folk music changed, and I changed with it.
I am a maid of constant sorrow. I've seen trials all of my days. I'm going back to California, place where I was partly raised. Friends may say that I'm a stranger, my face they'll never see no more. There is but one promise that's given.
Is there a favorite recording you have from those early years of the 1950s?
Well, Josh White, I think mostly because Josh was my first name artist. I mean, Josh was blacklisted and couldn't get a recording deal anyway and anywhere, and he was willing to accept almost no royalties. But the promise that I would record him right for the first time, I had an idea as to how he should be recorded, and mostly his material was made in the days of scratchy 78s, and those 78s were transferred to LP, but nobody really had caught the superb picker that Josh White was. So I could do that for him, and we shook hands on it. And because he was my first name artist, and because he made a wonderful, superb album called Josh at Midnight, I'd say St. James Infirmary.
It was down by old Joe's barroom on a corner of the square. They were serving drinks usual, and the usual crowd was there. Out on my left stood Big Joe McKennedy, and his eyes were bloodshot red. Turned his face to the people, these were the very words he said. As I was down to St. James Infirmary, I saw my baby there, stretched out on a long white table, so sweet, so cool, so fair. When I died, in my high top Stetson hat.
That's two Elektra recordings, Josh White with St. James Infirmary and Judy Collins with Maid of Constant Sorrow. Thanks to producer Nora Flaherty. Check out the complete interview at WFUV.org.